A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Kernels. I'm Christopher Hooton, ricocheting collection of atoms and also culture editor at The Independent. I hope you guys have been good since I was last talking in your ears. We're back today talking to Lena Waithe, who you probably know as Denise in Netflix's Master of None, Aziz Ansari's show that we now don't know if it's even continuing or not. But yeah. She was a big part of that. Her character was originally conceived as a straight white woman. Lena came along and just turned the role into a black lesbian, and it ended up working out great. She ended up winning an Emmy for that role, and that kind of led her to be working on one of the biggest films of the year, which is Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One. Now, that film you can catch is out March 28th. You might know a little bit about it. If you're expecting a film about VR that kind of like goes into the darkness of it in a big way, maybe a little bit like Spielberg did with Minority Report and some of the futuristic elements of that, that's not what you're gonna get. This is very much a kid's film. There's elements of darkness to it, sure. It's like set in a dystopian version of Cleveland in 2045 when the whole like city's gone to shit and everyone's just spending their time in VR, which is seems pretty much is like what's gonna happen right now. But I mean it keeps it light, it's fun. There's like car races, and then they're in The Shining, and then they're in another like wacky game, and it's just very intense and kind of nerdy, but pretty difficult to not be enthralled by. You're not going to be bored in this movie. And Lena plays a character called H, who we don't really see in the real world much, but is mostly seen in game, in this game that everyone's playing, the Oasis, which is kind of actually more like a console in which you can play whatever games you like, whatever VR experiences you want. So we don't really know too much about her actual human character, but we just know her as this avatar H in the game, who's an enormous muscular man who's like carrying around a massive blaster gun. So yeah, we talked a little bit about her role and working on such a crazily enormous film this week, and also touched a little bit on Master of None and what might happen with that and how the fuck Aziz is doing, given no one's heard from him since the article. All right, so the only footnotes I think going into this are Raquel was there. Raquel's Lena's assistant, I guess. She was on the sofa, so if she chimes in occasionally, that's who that is. And also we talk a little bit about The Shy, which is Lena's TV show that she wrote and created on Showtime, which I recommend people to check out. It's kind of like feels somewhere in between The Wire and Atlanta in terms of it being like a funny show, but like definitely got a lot of like crime elements and about like the cycle of crime in black neighborhoods. So yeah, this is me and Lena. I hope you enjoy. Yeah. I'm Chris, by the way.
Hi,
Raquel. Hi, nice to meet you. Lena. Yeah, nice to meet you.
To meet you.
Yeah, congrats on the movie.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. I think it's like a difficult film not to enjoy. So much going on the whole time. You guys just talking about Chicago. Actually, I watched The Shy, the pilot on the way in today.
Oh, nice.
I honestly like often like fairly last minute and like catching up on people I'm going to speak to stuff. And I genuinely thought it was really, really good. I was really impressed.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
And it drew a nice line between like having a lot of drama. Uh-huh. It's quite sad, but also having that humor as well.
Yeah.
So I guess I can guess from that, you know, growing up in South Chicago like really shaped you and still does to this day.
Yeah. You know, I think, Chicago is a big part of who I am. And I can't deny that part of myself, and I think I just kind of wanted to tell that story because a lot of people were telling the story but they never really lived in Chicago, so I kind of felt like I feel like I wanted to really tell it, you know. I wanted to kind of get a say in how Chicago was being portrayed, and I was really happy that people have appreciated, you know, the city through my lens.
Yeah. When you were growing up there, at what point did you decide you wanted to be in films and TV?
I think I really started taking it seriously toward the end of high school, and particularly in college, when I was trying to, like, I don't know, map out what my life would be. But yeah, I just realized that's what I leaned toward. You know, I leaned toward writing and reading, and I was obsessed with television and movies. So the two of them kind of came together, and it made sense. And but I was lucky to have Columbia College in my backyard, where I could study writing, producing, and television. Because a lot of people that I mentor, that I try to help give guidance to, they come to it later in life. You know, like, they'll be 30-something and go, oh, okay, I want to do this. I know Ava talks about it a lot in terms of, I can't remember her age, if she was like, what was she, 32, I think? When she, like, really, yeah, thank you, starts to really pursue being a filmmaker, and she makes good points in that, like, Ryan Coogler is like, you know, how old is he now? 30. And he's on his third movie. So I think for some people, like, oh, even look at me, like, I'm 33, and I feel like I've almost had, like, a whole career, you know, already. And so I'm looking at, like, especially, I think, post this movie, I feel like my career is sort of, like, looking at a new chapter. But I think because for those of us who, like, went to film school, I think there's a bit of an advantage in terms of we know the blueprint. We know how to move. We know the craft a little bit. You know, we don't know it perfectly, but we know it. And I think it's the tough thing is a lot of people, no one really thinks about, oh, I'm going to go into the show business. They think, oh, that's fun, or I like this, but I'm going to go get this job. And then when they're 40, they go, you know what? I want to do that movie thing. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes harder. One, because Hollywood is very ageist. That's one. So that's difficult. So that's why I always tell people, if you're 40-something, if you're a person of color, you have to be phenomenal, you know? And I always tell people too, because people say, well, is it difficult if you're a person of color and you're other than you're older? I always say it's not difficult if you're great, because people want to be around greatness, obviously, in this town. But the thing is, like, it's harder to be great at that point, because unless you're just gifted. But I think because if you don't have the school, if you haven't, if you don't know the craft, if you don't know the anybody in the business, it becomes difficult to get access. So it's a tough thing. It's a catch-22. Because on one hand, I always say, they don't care what color you are, where you come from, or how old you are, you can really write. The tough part is, if you're a person of color, if you're older, you come from a small town, you don't have access to writing classes and things like that. So chances are your script isn't going to be great. And that's what's preventing you from getting access. So it's sort of a bunch of things. But I'm not, I don't shy away from the fact that I went to Columbia and got education in terms of the craft. And that's why by the time I got to Los Angeles, I was ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah. And you think the film school was, like, really helpful? It was.
I do. I mean, I think because I knew the craft. Now, mind you, they can't teach you how to make it. They can't, you know, they don't, it doesn't, the leg up it gives you is that you know, I don't say you know what you're doing. You have a blueprint.
Yeah,
you have a blueprint.
And, like, in that period in between, like, I know you said you're, like, 33, and that's crazy to think of that as, like, later in your career, but do you feel it was, like, a struggle until, like, recently when things started really blowing up for you, or?
I don't think of it as a struggle. You know, I think of it as, like, the journey. You know, it's a part of it. Like, because also, you know, once you get good at something, which I feel like I finally got good at writing when I wrote The Shy, I wrote that final spec in my apartment, when I wrote 20s, which I wrote, like, way a long time ago. I think it was, that wasn't a struggle, that was me finding my voice. So I think that's when more so what it is, like, the sooner you start, the sooner you can find your voice. And look, I can't go, people can't rewind time, I can't go into people's lives, but if I can give any advice to people, it's like, listen to your gut. Like, don't do the safe thing for too long. Because the longer you do the safe thing, that's more time you got to make up in terms of, like, I won't say struggle, but, like, paying your dues and, like, pound the pavement and stuff like that.
And then acting, like, did you just fall into that? Did you think that was going to be something that you were going to end up doing? Or?
I don't necessarily say I fell into it, but I was blessed to come in contact with really great casting directors, like Allison Jones, who is responsible for me being on Master of None, Ellen Lewis and Leslie Feldman, who were the ones that saw my picture in Hollywood Reporter and said we should have this girl come in and read. I did. They mentioned me to Steven. They called me back. I called, got called back in after getting some notes from Steven. And then to them, Steven gave notes to them. They called me back in. They gave me those notes. And then Steven saw my tape again and was like, okay, I think this is the person for H. So I've been really blessed to catch the eye of casting directors, honestly.
Yeah.
Who just saw something in me, and for that I'm grateful, because I this was never part of my master plan.
Yeah. Did you do any training in it, or did you just think, you know, with your experience as a comedian and as a writer, you could kind of, you guess?
I'm not a stand-up comedian, never have been, don't plan to be. I write comedic stuff.
Yeah.
That's my background. But no, I've always been a ham within my own friend circle, but I never, because I'm artsy, when I was a kid, I did like little acting classes, but nothing.
Did you feel anxious about it then when you were acting and you kind of, because of that, or it just came quite naturally to you?
I felt a little anxious about it, but not too anxious. And I guess it did come naturally, you know, but I think it was about the projects. Like, Aziz met me and decided to mold the character after what he saw in me. And then also, H isn't too far from me. So it wasn't too much of a stretch, I think. But I really accepted the challenge. I think it was a fun, it's always been fun. You know, I never want to do something I feel like, oh, I don't think I'm good at it. Like, also, I would never take a role where I felt like I can't do that justice, or that's too big of a role for me. But if it feels like, oh, this feels, I can bring something to it, or it feels like it's in my wheelhouse, I'm definitely down. And I was really blessed to have really cool opportunities. Again, because of these casting directors.
Yeah. It must have been a wild experience doing Ready Player One, because obviously, like, Master of None, The Child, like, big shows, but then suddenly you get this crazy budget and all this, like, VFX involved. What was that?
Well, it was funny, because The Child hadn't picked up the series yet. When I got cast in Ready Player One, we had a mini room when I was in London. I was like still doing rewrites on scripts and stuff like that while filming, trying to get Showtime to say yes. So I didn't have any experience being on that set. And then, yeah, in terms of Master of None, it's very grounded and naturalistic. That's the whole tone of the show. And for this, it's like big and over the top and like this motion capture. The cool thing was, like, Ty had never done it before. Olivia had never done motion capture before. Ty had never been, I'd say, the lead of a movie like this before. So a lot of us were all doing new shit. And so I didn't feel like an oddball out. It was Phil's first movie. It was Wynn's first movie. So the three of us were kind of like, cool. But even for Olivia, you know, obviously it's not her first movie, but she's never done a movie this magnitude. So none of, I think if any of us had any nerves, they were sort of like, calmed, because we were all sort of in the boat together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the, I'm trying to imagine the setup when you were on set for this film. Like, were you wearing, is it like a motion capture suit?
It's a motion capture suit. The first half of the movie, we're like in this big white box, and there's nothing around us, obviously, and it's just like, we're being told this is happening, this goes down, da da da. And then the live action part, which is also fun, it was shot on film, so if you mess up a take, they got to stop, reload, all that kind of stuff. So it was a really, both experiences were really extreme and interesting, but both really fun and fascinating.
Yeah, because presumably when all the facial movements is very much you, but then you had to move as if you were like the Avatar character, right?
Which must have been exactly.
Very different.
Exactly, and we had really great acting coaches on set who really helped us with body language, in terms of like, when I was H, and in terms of when I was Iron Giant, all that stuff, because the body movements are all really different.
Yeah.
And Spielberg was also really helpful in terms of reminding us, like, wait a minute, you should fall this way, you can't run that fast now, all that kind of stuff, so it was really helpful.
Yeah. Do you feel like you learned working with Spielberg? Like, what was your takeaway? How will you remember working with him?
I just think the fact that he was such a family man, and he was so patient and generous, you know, with all of us, and I think that's the thing. It's like, yes, he's a master of cinema, and we picked up on certain technical things, but ultimately, I think he's just a really kind human being. I think that's why he's had such a long career, and also why his movies, I think, have such a lasting impact on everybody, because he leaves, like, I think, a piece of his soul on every movie he does.
Yeah, there's, like, a warmth to his movies. I guess you can tell that he seems like a kind
Absolutely.
Dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, in a sense, too.
Yeah. You were mentioning how a lot of your characters as far have been somewhat like you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think of the character as H as gay? It wasn't really like actually specifically said in the film, was it?
It was said in the movie, but I think it got, I don't know if it made it, but I feel like, you know, but Steven didn't shy away from it with me on set. I don't think he's trying to shy away from it in the movie. I mean, it's established in the book. So I think it was just a matter of like time, and also I think Steven didn't want to necessarily point out the obvious.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always thought, I mean, that's, it was once in a version of a script, so it was never shied away from, per se. So, yeah, it was always cool.
Cool. And thinking about how, like, you know, in the media, often you'll be defined or, like, contextualized about your gayness and blackness. Are you, like, is that, are you always okay with that? Or sometimes do you wish the headline was just Lena wins award, not first, you know, gay black?
No, I embrace it. I think, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, I don't want to, like, be mentioned with my race or my sexuality. I think it's important because we still need to be visible. We still need to acknowledge who we are and where we come from. And because I appreciate the things about me that make me different.
Hmm. And I'm thinking, like, ahead to, like, the future and stuff. Do you know what's happening with Master of None? If there's going
to
be more.
I don't. I mean, it's funny because I talk to Aziz and Alan, but it's the last thing that ever comes up in our conversations. Yeah. But also, too, it's their show. So I can't ever, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's up to them, truly, which is kind of cool about Netflix. I think Netflix is always like, unless they really hate a show, they're always like, yeah, feel free to come back and do more. So I think the ball's in their court, and I just haven't asked the question.
Yeah. But you've spoken to Aziz. Is he doing okay?
He's doing good. Yeah. He's very, his spirit, he's in good spirits.
I'm good. Pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, what else is in your future? You say you're doing another season of Shy.
Yeah. We're going to, that writer's one literally starts next month. And I'm excited to dive back in and to, you know, have a really phenomenal showrunner now, which is great. I'm going to shoot a pilot for 20s, which is a show I created, which will be over at TBS. We're going to shoot that pilot in July, I think, and Justin Simeon is going to direct, so we're very excited about that. I wrote a feature, which I hope to maybe shoot this fall. We'll see, depending on scheduling. And, and this movie's going to come out, so that's enough.
That's busy, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to be busy.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's it, but thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
You too.
All right, so that was the podcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed our chat. We'll see you in a couple of weeks for, who's it going to be? Looking like it might be Bryan Cranston at the moment, which I hope will be good because I've spoke to that guy a couple of times and the man's an absolute delight. So I'll see you then. Until then, take care. You know, if you get a chance, follow us on Twitter. Drop us a rate, a review, or a subscribe on that podcaster app. You know, I mean, watch Face Off, build a wall and then knock it down, buy a plant, just fucking check in with your cousin, maybe do all the laundry, like even all the stuff right down at the bottom that you know that yours just gets left, and also just like breathe deeply 4 times, it's a good thing to do. Alright, take care.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.